We read the Holy Scriptures tonight, first of all, in Hosea, chapter 12, the Old Testament book of Hosea, chapter 12. We're going to read the first six verses. God speaks his warnings and judgments here to Ephraim, or the 10 tribes of Israel, as well as to Judah. And then in verses 3 through 6, he speaks of the father of Israel and Judah, Jacob. Hosea chapter 12, Ephraim feedeth on wind and followeth after the east wind. He daily increases lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings, will he recompense him. He, that is Jacob, he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel, and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. Therefore turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. Now we return to Genesis chapter 32, where we were Sunday night. And our text will be the verses 24 through 32, Jacob at Peniel. Jacob has made preparations for greeting Esau, the brother who he deeply fears. He has also sent his wives and all of his company over the ford Jabbok. Now verse 24. Genesis 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, that is, when the man, or God, saw that he prevailed not against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he, Jacob, said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. May God bless this portion of word of God to us tonight. Throughout all of the ages, the church and the children of God have stood in wonder and in amazement at this passage that is before us tonight. Jacob wrestles with God. He who was the heel holder, the one who thought by his strength he could get the blessing, now wrestles with God himself, confessing that he can't get the blessing unless God will bless him. The ring, the wrestling ring in which they wrestle, is a riverbank where throughout the long hours of a night, God and Jacob wrestle, at times rolling over the ground. Jacob, so intense in his wrestling with God, that God perceived that he prevailed not against him, and he touched with his hand Jacob's hip socket and put it out of place. And yet, even after that, Jacob, no longer equipped to be able to move around, grabbed hold upon him and would not let him go. "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And Jacob said, "I will not let thee go till thou dost bless me." Is there something of this intensity, this need to be found in our prayer life? This intense desire, this intense understanding that God must bestow his blessing upon me or all is in vain. This utter need of him if I am to face what awaits me when the sun comes up the next morning. He must bless me. We find it easy to identify, as we saw Sunday night with Jacob. We find it, by God's grace, that we can identify with him in that seed of regeneration that was placed in him already as a boy. For the things of God were the treasure of his heart, and he coveted them, he wanted them. And we can also have kinship with him when we have seen repeatedly in the series on Jacob his repeated failures. We almost despair at certain points that Jacob is not going to learn to trust and obey, but will resort time after time to his own means and his own resources. We understand immediately in those stories what's going on, what the real issues are. And we do so because we know ourselves. And we have also felt the chastenings that he has received. We have experienced the same. We have experienced Jacob's faith and Jacob's fears, his good moments and his many fails. But are we one with Father Jacob in this? That in his great need, grace pressed upon his heart, that he would wrestle with God through the night. He wept and he made supplication, said Hosea, and by his strength he had power with God and prevailed. This moment is a turning point in Jacob's life. He will say that this is Peniel. I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. That's a very beautiful confession. Because of this, I'm assured that tomorrow my life will be preserved in God's goodwill. We look for such a turning point in our own lives. We struggle with our own besetting sins. We grow weary. When will it be that there will be a change, some fundamental change in me? We are given by God a burden to carry. We are given a problem, and we confront that problem for a long period of time, and we look for that moment of a change in our hearts and in our souls. Jacob comes to a turning point, a point that is fundamental in his life in this event. It's not his conversion, for he was a converted child of God. He was a child of God. It's not the end of his weakness, of being Jacob, of scheming, of trying to do it with his own abilities and strength, it's not the end of that. But it was a turning point. It was a decided growth in sanctification. We may even say it was a growth spurt. At the age of 70, spiritually, he had a growth spurt. He's not going to be the same after Peniel. He's going to walk the rest of his days with the memory of Peniel, with a limp, with a halt, with a deep sense of his utter dependence upon his God for everything, always close to his heart. And that change came through prayer, where he learned that he needed to lay hold and wrestle with God. We see him tonight as the God wrestler. After that exhausting day that we looked at Sunday evening, when the army of the angels met him in the morning, and when the fear of Esau came over his soul throughout the day, and when he had pled with God in prayer, and he had arranged the drove of animals to go ahead to placate Esau, yet in the evening hours, in the words before our text, Jacob has broken up his camp and sent his wives, his two wives, his two concubines, his sons and daughters, and all that he had, he sent them yet in that late hour over the ford Jabbok, probably because he did not want to be caught by Esau the next morning crossing that ford. He put everything he had over the ford. And we read, and Jacob was left alone on the other bank. Intentionally, he wanted to be alone to meditate. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Who is this? He was a man. He was a flesh and blood man. He had a hand whereby he could touch his hip. He had a torso. He had legs. All night long they were locked and wrestling one with each other. He was a man. He was God. For he is able, after wrestling all night, just to touch the hip and to put it out of socket. The strongest socket perhaps in our whole body, just to touch, is able to put it out. Jacob realizes that he is God. He pleads with him to bless him. I will not let you go till you bless me. And it's only God that can bless. Jacob's opponent says to him that he will now change his name from Jacob to Israel. That can only be God. Jacob calls the place, I have seen God face to face in my life, is now to be preserved. And Hosea, the prophet, makes it clear. By his strength he had power with God and prevailed. He was an angel. Hosea alone in the Bible tells us this. Verse 4 of Hosea 12, yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. The one who opposed him was a man, God, an angel, not three, one. We know from the scriptures that this one that is fighting him is called in the Old Testament the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the covenant, not one of the company of the angels, but simply an angel in the sense of messenger, the great messenger of God. Jesus Christ himself, the Old Testament way in which the Son of God revealed that he would one day take upon himself flesh permanently in the womb of the Virgin Mary. The one who appeared as a man to Abraham in the plains of Mamre to announce that Sarah, his wife, would have a son, who appeared to Joshua as the captain of the Lord's hosts in Joshua 5 and other places. The one who fought with him was God the Son in the form of a man, the messenger of the covenant, the one whose name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. He came to wrestle with Jacob. He initiated the fight. Let's be very clear who Jacob's opponent is. The scriptures teach us that we wrestle in prayer against the old man of our sin. And that is true here. Jacob will be that night wrestling with supplications and confessing his sin against God from the depths of his heart, crying them out. But he's not primarily wrestling his flesh. He's wrestling with the angel of the covenant. The scripture says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the devil and his demons and temptations. And Jacob that night will wrestle against all of those things. And he will see the great temptation that Esau has been to him to make him fear and lose his trust in God. But Jacob that night wrestled with God through Jesus Christ, who had come to him. God made him wrestle him. All night long, he struggled with him, in which Jacob, in this struggle by God's grace, is seeking to lay hold upon God through Jesus Christ, his Savior and his strength, whereby Jacob, by grace, is renouncing all of his pride, holding on to God's promises in Jesus Christ, whereby Jacob seeks to lay hold upon God in faith. Isaiah 64, verse 6, speaks of prayer this way. Isaiah speaking in a time of apostasy and of a very sickly spiritual attitude. He complains, "There is none that calleth on thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold on thee." Scripture says that prayer is to take hold on God. Jacob seeks to lay hold of God to be his strength. It's a very fitting and a very vivid picture of prayer. We normally think of prayer as fellowship and even call it sweet communion, Lord, with thee. I constantly abide, a place of rest, a place of peace. And so prayer is that haven of safety for our souls. That's true. But true prayer is also at times, and especially at certain times of our life, in moments of trial or sickness or fear or sin, prayer is very intense. Prayer is extremely spiritual. With all our heart and soul, we are yearning after God. Paul says in a similar vein to the Roman Christians, Romans 15, verse 31, he says to them as the missionary of the church, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Strive together. That word is agonize, and it refers to the agony of a wrestler. A wrestler is exerting all of his energy and strength. Wrestling is unique among the sports. It is the most personal. It requires the most exertion of every part of the body to fight. So the picture is not Jacob muscling God, not Jacob forcing God, but Jacob now coming close to God in the awareness of his utter need, his unworthiness, and that God alone now can be his strength, his salvation, and his refuge. It's important to see that his fight was a real physical fight, and even more so, a real spiritual prayer to hold on to God. This is again, as pointed out with the angels, Jacob is not having a dream. He's not dreaming this. He didn't fall asleep on the bank and dream this. He's not in a trance. He's not in a vision. All night long, he is fighting with this man. The arms and their legs are intertwined. Again, the man touched the hollow of his thigh, and his physical body was hurt. But at the same time, it was so much more. Hosea chapter 12, verse 4, he wept and made supplication unto God, so that he was not just crying out in pain through blows that he felt. It was not just his physical heart that was pumping and ready to burst out of his chest. It was not just his lungs screaming for air and strength draining from his body. But this was his description spiritually. His heart was beating and panting after God. His soul was weeping and becoming weak under his sins. He was seeking God with strong supplications to God. God is teaching us that prayer is to be at times wrestling with God. It's to be the sincere understanding of our desperate and utter need of Him, and that He alone can be our strength and our refuge. How is prayer like wrestling? Prayer is like wrestling, and that prayer is personal. Wrestling is a one-on-one thing. This was not a rumble. This is not to be compared to a bench-clearing brawl. Bunch of people fighting. But this was one on one. That's wrestling. Not tag team. One on one. Now we do have congregational prayer. We do have family prayer. We do have prayer as husband and wife. We encourage prayer with believers, with others. We encourage this. But prayer in its simplest form is just you and God. Just you and God. We are alone with God through Jesus Christ, our mediator. Jacob had sent everybody across the brook. He's not praying here with his wives. What happened throughout the night, and what was exchanged between them, and what was said, there must have been a lot of it, is not recorded. Only at the end do we hear anything of what was said about the blessing. It was Jacob's needs. It was Jacob's sins. It was Jacob's journey after God through his voice that was heard in the prayer. Prayer is not, in its simplest form, your friends helping you. It's you, and it's your God. Prayer is a personal meeting with God. It's not make-believe. It's not pretend. It's you and the living God. Secondly, this wrestling teaches us that prayer is intimate. Wrestling is a close combat. Wrestling is the closest type of combat. Wrestling is not like today when you can have combat behind a computer screen and drones can drop a bomb on your enemy 1,000 miles away and you're never face to face with them. It's close. It's skin to skin. It's even closer than boxing, because in boxing you seek not to get close, you seek to go in and out. The whole point of wrestling is to get close, to go hand to hand, to get a hold of your opponent and to throw him. Prayer is close to God. Prayer is face to face with God. Prayer is not an abstract discussion on theological truths. But prayer is close, intimate fellowship with God through Christ. You say, but how do we do that? God is invisible. He can't be seen. Our hands can't hold him. We can't grapple with him. The answer to us is we do that through his word. We do that through his spirit. We do that through his promises. Prayer is faith laying hold of the bands of his covenant. Prayer is faith holding on to his promises. Faith is holding out to God his own word that he has said to us, and his promises that he has said to us, and calling upon him to keep that word. That's a very bold thing to think of, but that's true. God desires us to use his promises of grace to us in our prayers. When you're wrestling, sometimes what a good wrestler will do will use the weight of his opponent, the charge of his opponent against him by getting him off balance. God delights when we plead his mercies on the basis of his promises. There's an example of this in Jeremiah 14, verses 7 through 9. We read, O Lord, and this is again in a time of apostasy, O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. Be faithful to us for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many, and we have sinned against thee. O hope of Israel, the Savior thereof, in the time of trouble, why should thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why art thou distant from us, O Lord? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. We plead his own promises. Moses. Remember Moses on Mount Sinai? God was not going to do that. But when he was on Mount Sinai, he said to Moses, these people who worship the golden calf, I will destroy them. And I will make of you, Moses, a great nation. And Moses said, no. No. You can't do that. Your promises to these people. What will the wicked say of you? Now, God never intended to do that. But the point is, God gives us his promises that we may plead to him in our prayers. Prayer is personal. Prayer is close. Prayer is intense. In wrestling, you use every muscle of your body. college football lineman may play in a game with a broken wrist with a cast on. A hockey player may have a broken finger and yet he'll be able to play, but a wrestler needs all the parts of his body working because he's going to use them all. It's all of his strength. It's an all-out thing. It's sweaty. It's exhausting. And this one was for a long time. Jacob wrestled all night for hours. And so prayer is intense. Prayer is persevering. Prayer is hard work. And this is why we sometimes avoid it. And this is why we sometimes do something else first. And while our inclination is to do or to pick up something else, a moment before we give ourselves to prayer. And this is why we fall into routine prayers and superficial prayers, because prayer is intense, personal, and close. When we think of an intense prayer, the most well known to us in the scripture is the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the Father figuratively was holding to his Son the cup of the wrath of God, which was ours. We had filled that cup and he was to drink it. And he prayed to his Father three times with sweat and blood dripping from his face. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And so Jacob here is intense. Hosea says he brings weeping and supplications. Supplications are heartfelt desires, and weeping over sins. And so he's pouring this out to God. I said we're not told what he said, but he brings weeping, the weeping of his sins, going back to way back to the birthright and the bowl of soup and the blessing and his lies to his father and his marriages to two women and his living with concubines and his resorting to help God with peeled rods and his running away, making everything worse. And now even that day's attempt to buy off his brother by sending him all of those animals. In our prayer, we are intense. And when we come to God, and we come to him sincerely, and we come to him with something that we want, and we come sincerely, and suddenly, as we're praying, many things begin to come up into our hearts, and our sins begin to come up into our hearts. That's not abnormal. That's right. That's the way it should be. You sincerely have come to God for one thing sincerely, and you come to him in that intense spirit by God's grace, and God begins to work in you, and you begin to wrestle with God over many things. Many things that you have kept silent come to the top now of your soul, and you wrestle with him over them. And you confess. Prayer is focused, personal, close, intense, focus or concentration. Wrestling has an important mental aspect. You have to pay attention, you have to concentrate. Because one lapse, one careless movement, and you are thrown to the ground, and you are either pinned or you're behind on points. We must focus. This is very difficult for us in prayer because we've all experienced that especially in our private prayer. And this is why I always encourage, even in private prayer, when you're alone, still to use words, to talk out loud. But what happens to us is that all of a sudden we've begun our prayer and we've found our mind for the last 2 minutes has slipped far away to all kinds of things. We couldn't hold the train of thought very long. And now we're thinking about a shopping list, or we're thinking about other people, or we're thinking about the things I need to do today, even as perhaps another part of our brain, different part of our brain, is bringing petitions to God, and the other part of our brain is thinking about everything else. And we wake up and we say, how did I get there? Right before the face of God. This is deplorable. What am I thinking? How can this happen? Prayer demands concentration. And just like a little boy who does not like to do his schoolwork because I have to think, so also prayer means we have to think. We have to concentrate. And here, especially for Jacob, God has brought darkness upon him. And in that darkness, he is stirring Jacob up, stirring up his soul to wrestle and to seek God. What was the thing that Jacob so desperately wanted? What was he wrestling for? God's blessing. More correctly, the assurance of God's blessing. The sun began to rise. And God saw that Jacob continued to wrestle, and he touched his hip, as I said, so that he can no longer effectively wrestle. Now all he can do is lunge forward and grab hold and hang on. Just hang on. And God says, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. He needed the assurance of blessing. God's blessing is not a physical thing in itself. It's not a physical thing. It's not something that goes according to your plan. It's not having things the way you want. It is not something that you earn. It is not something that you could ever deserve. God's blessing is a gift of his love. God's blessing is his favor, is his love, is his almighty grace, is his assurance that he will save me, is his assurance that he will maintain the faith that he has given to me, that he's going to work all things together in my life for my eternal good. God blesses us when he assures us through faith of his love, when he assures us that he will supply all of our needs, when he assures us that his grace, his all-sufficient grace, will never be removed from us. God's blessing is when he gives us to know we belong through the blood of Christ to him. To Jacob, when he asks for this blessing, obviously included with Jacob was that land of Canaan, picture of the heavenly inheritance. Obviously, in Jacob's mind as he wrestles all night, is the seed, the promised seed of the Messiah. If Esau kills him in the morning, then that promised seed will not be continued. If his family is destroyed, if his wives and children are murdered, he's praying for that. Yes, he is. And really what he's praying is, was he already summarized Sunday night when we saw his prayer in verses 9 through 12, deliver me from the hand of my brother, and all that he said in that prayer. But he's praying for God's blessing. He has come close to God's heart, and he wants to be assured of God's heart toward him. And God granted him. God merely of grace granted his request. Thou shalt no more be called Jacob, heel holder. You shall be called prince with God, wrestler, contender with God, who has prevailed. God gave him this. God gave him to understand that his favor was upon him. And to show that God would be his strength, and that it was of God's mercy that he would uphold him, and that it was not of Jacob, not of his strength, but of God's, God touched Jacob's thigh. He dislocated his hip permanently. For the rest of his life, he walked with a limp. He halted upon his thigh. When he halted upon his thigh, it was reminded to him. That's why I said this is a life important event. This changed things for him. That reminded him, you're weak. You can't hold yourself up. Your schemes, your plans, your will, your conniving, your strength, they're all weak. They're all useless. You must lean and depend upon me. Your strength must be in God alone. And so he called the name of the place Peniel. I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. I have seen God face to face, and not, he doesn't add, and I earned it. No, I saw God face to face, and I receive the assurance that he will preserve me in faith in my life. He learned what it is to be, with the Apostle Paul, weak in myself, but strong in God. When I am weak and dependent upon God, then am I strong. He received the answer to his prayer, the answer to the wrestling. I will not leave you. I will do everything that I have promised to you in Jesus Christ. He wrestled with God. May God work that same spirit of prayer in your heart and in mine. Amen. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for thy word. We confess, O Lord, that thy word is truth, every page. We pray that we may learn the truths of Scripture, that we may learn them as they are painted for us in the life of Jacob. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.